Welcome into the Chaos Arto Betting Parlor. It is Super Bowl Saturday with Chef John Ash in the Chaos Arto Kitchen.
Okay, Garner, who's going to win?
Well, I've gone out on a limb.
Have you?
And I've already said it's going to be Kansas City by 7.
Oh, no. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Who do you honestly think is going to win the game?
I think if the 49ers can start off strong, yeah, they'll win.
Okay.
So there.
Well, that says nothing. So you don't know if they're going to start off strong or not?
No. Won't know until...
Are you going to watch the game?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So have you ever catered a Super Bowl party in your professional career or hosted a Super Bowl party?
Yeah. We used to do them at the restaurant, you know.
Oh, you did.
Because it's a great way of selling food and selling booze, you know. It's great for that.
Did you have any specialties that you were known for, you really liked to do on Super Bowl?
Not particularly, but I brought something here which I think you'll enjoy because it's the summary of from Google of what recipes are Googled prior to the Super Bowl, you know, for Super Bowl parties and all that.
Well, I'll just throw out one that I'll think. It has to be chicken wings in there.
Oh, of course. Well, okay. It's all of the things you would think, dips and chicken wings. Right. But these are the just outrageous things that were most Googled. In Alaska, it was the dill pickle with beef dip. So cream cheese. A pickle in the center and beef wrapped around the outside.
Sounds delicious.
And they cut it like a sushi, you know. So
I like that idea.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. A couple more that I really love. Kentucky, are you ready for this? Your home, old Kentucky home.
Pimento cheese?
Fondue.
Pimento cheese fondue.
Well, it wasn't identified with that, but just the idea of fondue.
Fondue in Kentucky?
Yeah.
All right.
The most Googled recipes.
All right.
And the last one I'll share with you is Mississippi. Huh? What do you think they went?
With pralines, pecans.
Well, you would think so. Green beans with beef broth, which are called Mississippi green beans. They're also known as Alabama green beans and all that. I'd never heard of such a thing. But most Googled recipes.
Okay. Well, I'm not skeptical, but I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I would think maybe green bean casserole, maybe something with those crispy onions on top. That's the way to do it for a crowd.
You know, those Southerners, they're a little weird.
Well, what I have done several Super Bowl parties in my life, and you know what the most successful one was and the least problematical?
What was that?
My baked potato bar.
Oh.
Now, no one talks about a baked... We do chili, we do chicken wings, we deviled eggs, all the usual things. But let me tell you, the baked potato bar...
How did you do it?
Well, we just...
Baked potatoes.
Bake a lot of potatoes.
Yeah.
You put them out, and you do everything that one could possibly want to put on top of a baked potato.
Yeah.
And that includes chili. So you have a whole bowl of chili. And you have, of course, everything else you would think.
Cheese and sour cream.
And bacon.
Yeah.
Really smoky bacon and chopped green onions. And I'll tell you, it's an entire meal. And it's not very laborious to do.
Yeah.
And you've got everything there under one thing. Instead of doing... I don't know. People go way overboard. I don't want to be making 500 chicken wings for Super Bowl.
Yeah. But you could.
Well, I could, and maybe I will. And so here's some interesting trivia.
Okay.
Thanksgiving Day, of course, is the day when Americans eat the most amount of food. But, of course, what is the second biggest consumption day?
Is it Super Bowl?
It is Super Bowl Sunday, where Americans stuff themselves more than any day of the year. Second of all, avocados. 26 million will be consumed tomorrow.
Whoa.
Which they'll be gorging on 8 million pounds of guacamole tomorrow. Remarkable.
Where did these statistics come from?
Who cares? Over 13 million pizzas will be ordered and delivered tomorrow. And this is a staggering amount. And I verified this from the National Chicken Council. 1.5 billion chicken wings will be consumed Saturday and Sunday until Monday.
So do you
not million.
So do you know what they're working on? Is a chicken that has four wings.
Sure, John. I was born yesterday. They really are? You read that.
It's apocryphal.
Now, remember, that's enough drumettes and flats to circle the Earth three times.
Yeah.
Isn't that fast? And here's a statistic which really doesn't surprise me and shouldn't surprise anybody, is that on Monday morning, retailers predict a 20% increase in the sale of antacids.
That's
so
great.
There we have our Super
That's
Bowl.
Great. That's great.
Didn't that sound exciting? Super Bowl tomorrow? All that
Of food? Well, and I think because the 49ers are in it, that makes it, you know, if we're all teams in the East or something, we wouldn't care. So it'll be interesting to drive around at 5 o'clock or thereafter. I bet the streets will be deserted. Don't you think?
I think so. Now, that beautiful music means that...
Boy, where did that come from?
Well, it came from the ethos. It's because it's Chinese New Year.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, the Redwood Empire Chinese Association is hosting its annual celebration tonight at the Veterans Memorial Building in Santa Rosa. And we have a little tradition on the show honoring Chinese New Year in the chat with Nancy Wang. And Nancy tells us that there's still some coveted seats available for the banquet tonight. Good morning, Nancy, and welcome to the Good Food Hour with me and Chef John Ash.
Good morning and happy Chinese New Year.
Yes, to you.
Thank you
too.
So much, Nancy. So this year, it is the year of the rat, correct?
Year of the rat. Also, it's the 12th zodiac that we start the beginner, the 12th year, you know, the first year is the year of the rat.
So how many years has the Redwood Empire Chinese Association been hosting this New Year's dinner?
I think it's 20-some years, for my memory. Uh-huh. I think 29 years. But we're holding at the vet building, it's about 20 years, the Santa Rosa Memorial Vet Building.
So what's on the menu?
What's on the menu? You want, I mean, we, of course, the sweet sour pork and broccoli beef and chow mein, chow fun, and the lotus vegetable, the lotus root. And with we call the lo han zai, it's completely with the cabbage, mushroom, and tofu. Then we have barbecue pork. Then you just talked earlier on the show, you know, the chicken wing. Actually, we're going to have unbelievable tasting chicken wing and little legs for our dinner, too.
And will you have dim sum?
I'm sorry, we don't have dim sum. Because the Chinese New Year, they don't serve dim sum.
That's right. That's
yes,
right.
And they want lots of food.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the Chinese. They're not only just the food, and we have it so colorful, the entertainment. You know, everybody know Chinese culture is lion, dragon, culture, dance, and martial art. But this year, we have everything is completely new program for every entertainment we're going to put on.
So tell us what the entertainment's going to be.
Okay, we have the music, the instrument, and the guzheng. Then we have a culture dance. They have a beautiful costume and a brand new routine, the fan dance and the umbrella dance. And the martial art, the instructor is our member, he adopted this program because he was in that chess center doing Chinese New Year Eve for the martial art. They had a halftime, the warrior play. They have a halftime martial art demonstration. So he training all his students, doing about a similar, and has a lot of students went to China, get a champ, was compete with the championship, come home last year. So they're all going to be on the stage. Of course, the dragon is the most exciting. You know, we have a three dragon. The biggest one, the longest one, is 250 feet.
Wow.
Yes, and we need 27 people to hold it.
I was going to say, how many people?
27.
Yeah,
for
great.
One dragon, then we have a medium size, another 100 feet. That's a 10. Then we got another baby dragon for little kids. You know, everybody coming for the event, you got a chance to hold it, maybe the sticks. And we have our own people to do it, but we always leave some space for the audience can participate because we are one of sharing our culture. And the lion dance, of course, but this year they put a brand new, they just kind of show me the other day what they did is they jump on the bench. And, you know, normally we are scared the kids get hurt, but this time they really did a really good job, I will say that.
There's no better food and entertainment option for tonight, Saturday night, than the Redwood Empire Chinese Association's big New Year's celebration at the Veterans Memorial Building in Santa Rosa. How do we get tickets, Nancy?
Okay, actually, I told you, we still have a little bit ticket left. With door opens 5 at the Vets Building, and the dinner starts at 6. You can purchase, if you have a time right now, go to Asian Mart at Glenville Road.
Orange Asian Mart on Glenville Road. Sell tickets. Okay.
If you don't want, it's a 2481 Glenville Road. If you don't want to make a one trip coming to the event, I will make sure if they sell out, just ask for Nancy. I will let you in.
Okay.
We don't want to turn the people away. This is such a wonderful event.
Okay. How much are tickets, Nancy?
The ticket for adults is $25. Oh, gosh. And the children from 3 to 10, it's $10. This is a family event. You know, we had a local support. Otherwise, we can. We know we have another big one compete with us tonight, but I think the Chinese New Year, it's better.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for spending time with us. Doors open at 5, dinner at 6 at the Santa Rosa Memorial Veterans Building tonight to celebrate the Year of the Rat. Thanks so much again for joining us.
Happy Chinese New Year.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. We'll be back, and we're journeying to the East Coast to taste some of the fabulous wines from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Commission, the big association. The guys are here to join Jeff, John Ash and me through a tasting of some of the terrific wines. That coming up right after this.
And 94.5 KSRO, depend on it.
You could go to school for 3 to 5 years to earn the degree you need for the career you want, or you can go to Empire College and start your career in just 6 to 18 months. Like you, Empire College students have jobs, families, and lots of life going on. But they, like you, want more. More time with friends and family, more time for vacations, more time working in a rewarding career, more time for life, not more time in school. Empire College is Sonoma County's original career technical college. North Bay employers and graduates know why more than 80% of Empire College students are referred by family and friends. Want even more? How about a free education from Empire Business College? Apply today at empirefreeeducation.com. Make 2020 the year you get more. Apply now at empirefreeeducation.com. All entries due by February 14th. Get more life at Empire College.
Come on in. I'll be just a minute.
Wow. Did you repaint those chairs?
Oh, yeah. I went to Holly's Paints. They were great. I took them a sample and they matched it for me.
Huh, they look brand new.
I figured, why spend the money on new furniture if I could get my old chairs to look new again?
I've got an old bike I want to repaint. Do you think they could match the original color?
Holly's can color match just about anything. Just choose the exact colors you like and they'll match them.
Holly's Paints can match just about any color you want. Just bring in a sample or choose a color from one of their many sample books and they'll create the paint to match. They can also make the paint available in a spray can to paint personal items the color you choose. See Holly's Paints for details.
My daughter has this unicorn that's kind of pinkish purple color. If I could paint her room that color, she'd be thrilled.
And you'd be the coolest dad on the block.
I think I could handle that status.
To color match virtually anything, head over to Holly's Paints, serving Northern California since 1906 on Santa Rosa Avenue, halfway between Hearn and Todd. Paint like a pro.
It's Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's paradise.
For the latest travel destinations, trends, and how to get the most value out of your travel dollar, tune in to Travel Tuesdays with travel expert Elise Corey, owner of TravelWise, every Tuesday from noon to 12:30. From a luxury trip of a lifetime to a weekend getaway, Travel Tuesdays will cover it all. Travel Tuesdays with Elise Corey, noon to 12:30 on KSRO. More information and podcasts available at KSRO.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is a pleasure to welcome both Dave Barber and Carl Brandhorst from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Commission, all the way from Virginia into the KSRO kitchen. Thanks for joining us again. I think this makes about 11 years since 2010. You've come January, February and brought us some of these fabulous wines grown along these 17 member states of the organization. So thank you, Dave, and thank you, Carl.
Thank you for having us.
So why do you come out here this time each year?
Well, we promote East Coast wines.
Yeah.
And the dominant draw is the Unified Wine and Grape Symposium, which is next week in Sacramento. Mm. So we come there to pour four cases of wine. But Annie, as our West Coast rep, Annie Vercelli is our West Coast representative, and she has arranged other things throughout the years. Mm-hmm. For instance, right the day before Unified, we do a seminar at UC Davis for the grad students. We just had a couple of days ago the seminar at the Sonoma County Wine Library. We taught a class, participated partially for students in a wine judging course at Sonoma County or Santa Rosa Junior College, and a lot of other hosted dinners and things to just promote East Coast wines and say we are doing things out there that are different.
It's interesting. And in the past, I know, and I think you've done it again, you've introduced us to grape varieties that we've never heard of.
Yes.
You know, that don't exist out here.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You know.
We have a lot of hybrid grapes, but we also had some native species grapes in there. But the hybrids are marvelous because people didn't like the original native grapes, so they started hybridizing. The botanists got together. Well, what do we have? This is a parent, and this is a parent. Put them together, and what happens? And over time, they develop hybrid grapes, and they grow well because they're acclimated to the climate and produce nice-tasting wines. So that's what we try and show that we do. We do vinifera also, but we have a lot of other things to offer.
Yeah, the hybrids really, I think, helped the industry take off.
Yes.
Once that science became concrete, and a lot of the problems with that are encountered by high humidity and moisture and
then
those bacterials and phylloxera, the hybrids kind of took care of that. We developed varieties that were more disease resistant.
Exactly. And that's the whole reason of hybridizing and breeding these wines, to get the best trait of each parent.
So can I ask you, how many wineries are in that 17 state area?
A little over 1,000.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it's Maine through Florida, the touch of the Atlantic, including Vermont, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, that we include, just so there's not holes in that gap.
Uh-huh.
And they don't touch the Atlantic Ocean, but we include them. So the 17 states, there's over 1,000 wineries, and a lot of them are smaller, but they are growing and getting more and more wines and doing better jobs and having nice wines.
I think you've told us in the past, too, that there are these wine roads.
Wine trails.
So if you're going back there, it's like you can plug in and really visit.
Exactly.
They have them in Virginia, and they have them up in New York, too. Mm-hmm.
Each state has their own promotions of what to do with the wines, of how to get the wineries going, because they realize that, yes, each state generates tax or receives taxes from the production of wine, but also the peripheral revenue coming through there. People come visit. They visit a restaurant. They purchase gasoline. They go to stores. Mm-hmm. And it's other revenue coming into the state. So they are promoting the wine and wineries.
As far as vinifera, what are the most successful vinifera varieties that grow along the East Coast?
Well, everyone wants to try Chardonnay, and that's really not indigenous.
I didn't say ever. I said the most successful.
But exactly. Successful, it's hard because it depends upon what niche you are and exactly where. Again, going from Maine to Florida, we have a whole slew of climatic change.
Yeah.
So sort of in the mid-Atlantic where we are in Virginia. New York is dominant there. New York has been great with Riesling in the Finger Lake area. Mm-hmm. But again, further down in Long Island, you do have the Chardonnay and Pinot Noir that do some nice things, and Cabernet out there.
Merlot on the Long Island is especially important.
Mm. And what about Cab Franc? Seems to be very forgiving.
Yes, Cabernet Franc has become very dominant. A lot of people want to do Cabernet Sauvignon, but it just doesn't ripen for most of the time. So Cabernet Franc ripens almost every year and produces some nice wines, and we do varietals of Cabernet Francs everywhere. And again, in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina are dominant Cabernet Franc. But we also do some other wines.
Yep, Petit Verdot.
As structure coming through there. Carl mentioned Petit Verdot, which was planted basically to be one of the five in the Bordeaux blend, but we had so much left over when we after we blended. You don't need that much for a blend. We started bottling it, and it turned out pretty well. We're going to have one later today, Tannat, becoming a little popular. It's not overly taken the world over yet, but it's coming through there. And the whites, Viognier is marvelous. In fact, Virginia is declared the state grape of Virginia, the Viognier.
And Viognier as a standalone and also a very important blending varietal, too.
Most people don't. They do blend somewhat, but not as much. A lot of people emphasize the fruit by itself.
And you brought his Viognier over the years. It's been terrific. And John, you've mentioned that you like the characteristics of a lot of the East Coast Viognier even better than some of the overly floral varieties we've tasted.
You and I have both talked about that. Sometimes California Viognier can, not always, but can get a little perfumey and all of that. It kind of gets in the way of enjoying the wine. But the Horton.
They do a sparkling Viognier.
Yeah.
But Horton, marvelous.
Dennis Horton was the one who came to California when it was just coming. Yeah. When Rhone Rangers brought to California and tasted it and said, yes, this is a nice wine, California. You're doing a nice job with it. But I think it'll do a little better in Virginia.
Yeah.
He brought it to Virginia and it sort of flourished.
And wasn't it voted has been repeatedly the best Viognier in America?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we need to jump right in to our first wine. Why don't you describe the Cool Ridge Vineyards Cool White from the Cumberland Valley, 2017, and this is a blend.
And that is from Maryland. Cumberland Valley is one of the AVAs. We do have a bunch of AVAs all on the East Coast, but it's a Maryland wine. It's a blend. It's a nice, easy, refreshing wine. It's equal portions of Pinot Gris, Viognier, Riesling, and Traminette. Dry. 0% residual sweetness, but you have all those flavors coming through. Mm. Now, everyone knows those three grapes, except Traminette probably is throwing the loop in there. Traminette is a hybrid grape. It is a hybrid of Gewürztraminer and an unnamed Native American grape. So that's sort of the surrogate grape. But it picked up all the characteristics of the Gewürztraminer.
So are you just being mysterious by saying an unnamed American grape, or we don't know?
No, we don't. Well, we do know what it is, but it was never successful enough to have a name.
Ah.
In the hybridization process, they do a lot, and they call it, if it's in New York, it's NY107523,
gotcha.
And then that got together with NY72147 and begat NY12567. So we just say unnamed as opposed to remembering all those numbers.
Yeah.
But if wine has propagated and become very nice and ready for production, they give it a name that's easy to remember.
Well, we were talking earlier, and Steve, because he's such a pack rat, keeps everything, everything that's ever happened on the show. I had never heard of it, but you pointed out that we did taste Traminette
back in 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's picked up all the characteristics of Gewürztraminer, but it's more winter hardy.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the reasons it's done and become popular. So we'll go down to minus 20 degrees as opposed to just 0 degrees.
So with this an off the wall question, with global warming, is that good for East Coast wines because winters aren't quite as harsh? Or?
Well, it depends. Again, down in Virginia, North Carolina, you don't have that really harshness problem. Mm-hmm. You find the niche of it. Obviously, Maine and upstate New York will probably enjoy it, not having the minus degrees in the winter. But again, we take it with stride, whether it's going to last, whether it's a phenomenon that's going to be here forever. Again, that's up for debate at another topic, another day.
Well, it's No politics.
Well, it's delicious. The Cool Ridge Vineyards Cool White from the Cumberland Valley of Maryland, a blend of Pinot Gris, Viognier, Riesling, and Traminette. I'm with this.
I like it very much. How much would a bottle of this cost?
It's $21.
Okay.
So it's reasonable. It's refreshing. Nice for your aperitif or you could hors d'oeuvres. Mm-hmm. Because that little spiciness of the Gewürztraminer parentage in the Traminette brings together with the floral of the Viognier and the Riesling. And it's just a Pinot Gris is just a nice base to work
with. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash, the special edition of the KSRO Good Food Hour this morning.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Austin here from More Home Services. Doing little extras for our clients without charging them is something we love to do. and we call these acts of kindness good deeds for free. Big or small, they're about making our clients smile. It can be as simple as bringing in the trash cans from the curb, or it can be more. For example, our technician Eduardo was on a recent call installing a water pressure regulator when his client mentioned that the caulking around his shower tiles was coming off and didn't look too good. Eduardo didn't hesitate and told the homeowner, "Don't worry, I've got this." He spent about 15 minutes removing the old caulk, then another 15 minutes carefully installing the new caulk, just like an old pro. Needless to say, Eduardo's client was happy and smiling ear to ear. Hey, that's how we roll here at More Home Services. We see a chance to help with a good deed for free, and we jump right in. Give us a call at 707-505-8000 or online at morehomeservices.com.
Ad paid for by NotSoSmart.org. No on Measure I. Committee major funding from Molly Flater.
Measure I is not so smart. It's a more than $2 billion local tax increase in Sonoma and Marin counties that hits working families hardest. Measure I extends the Smart Train sales tax for 30 years, even though the current sales tax doesn't expire for another 9 years. But supporters want to extend that tax now so Smart can borrow money to pay for debt on which it is overextended. Measure I's $1 billion tax increase is just not smart.
Measure I costs too much for something that does so little and with no accountability. Measure I gives Smart a blank check with our sales tax dollars until 2059, allowing it to spend tax revenue on things that don't impact transportation and without any transparency and without any new or better budget oversight. Vote no on Measure I.
How do you like your pizza?
I like my pizza with extra cheese, pepperoni, Italian sausage, and mushroom.
I love Hawaiian pizza. Aloha.
Whatever kind of pizza you like, Mountain Mike's Pizza has a deal for you.
Come on out to Mountain Mike's Windsor location at 6580 Hembry Lane in Windsor and cheer on the 49ers in the big game. You can also have your fundraising or birthday parties at Mountain Mike's Pizza.
Mountain Mike's has all your favorite toppings so you can create a pizza just the way you like it. Mountain Mike's delivers all day long. Order your pizzas for the business meeting, office party, or to your home. Mountain Mike's always delivers them hot and fresh.
Check out Mountain Mike's newest location in Santa Rosa on Mission Boulevard. And two more locations in Santa Rosa, one in Windsor, one in Healdsburg, one in Novato, and two in Rohnert Park. For a location near you, just go to mountainmikes.com. Eat pizza the way it ought to be at Mountain Mike's.
The Feed Store in Sebastopol, independently and locally owned. By choosing the Feed Store for your animal's needs and feed, you'll receive more than 80 years combined experience in animal nutrition. This is the place to visit. Come experience the warmth and comfort of a good old-fashioned feed store with all the extras, such as stoves to heat your home, a gift boutique that's as unique as the feed store itself, and a staff that appreciates you keeping your shopping experience local. The Feed Store, and a whole lot more.
Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the KS Arto Kitchen welcoming back Dave Barber and Carl Brandhorst from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Commission, our annual get-together to taste some most unique, different, and delicious wines. What's the next one on the tasting, Dave?
The next one is from Woody Lodge Winery in Pennsylvania. It is a semi-dry Riesling. It is 100% Riesling. The grapes were actually grown in New York, but the winery is Pennsylvania. And this is a small winery that a disabled veteran has come back, and his mother has started the winery and is taking it and making it grow and becoming a big success there. And it is a Riesling, but it's semi-dry, so it's about 1.4% residual sweetness. So it's not completely dry, but not sweet at all. Mm-hmm. Just enough sweetness to give you more body.
So, you know, the other thing, I was just looking at your notes there, that I love about this is lower in alcohol.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we in the East don't have the longer growing season in the sun that you in California do. So obviously when we get wines ripened, they're not going to be as super sweet. So therefore there's not as much sugar. So therefore the yeast can't feed on much of it and make as much alcohol. But it's still a pleasant body, pleasant balance.
Well, I'm all for less alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to make alcohol, and it's cheap to make alcohol, but that's not the artistry.
Yes.
So this is a beautiful wine. And would go great with a Chinese banquet tonight.
Ooh,
wouldn't it?
Ooh, that would. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
as we talked, there's only 12% alcohol, which is just normal what alcohol used to be in wines.
Yeah.
It's grown.
Yeah.
We forget that, don't we? Mm-hmm. That's what it used to be. 11 to 13, 14 until
Got out of hand. When it got to be 13, people were kind of shocked, you know, that. And from a food and wine pairing standpoint, you know, these lower alcohol wines just work so much better than these high alcohol, highly extracted wines. It's difficult to create food that's going to go well with it.
Well, that's what I think. There's those different categories. They talk about walk-around wines, wines that are high alcohol, mm-hmm. wines where you're just walking and socializing.
Yeah.
And then there's the
yeah.
food-friendly wines, yeah. which I think is not a bad way to describe wines in the 11 to 13, 13.5%, which you can have throughout a meal.
Yeah.
And be able to enjoy and have coherent conversation.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting that the European standard for such a long time was lower alcohol wines in France and Italy and all of those places. But again, I guess because of global warming, we get more sugar in the wines and as a result, more alcohol.
So the one we just had was the Woody Lodge Winery Semi-Dry Riesling from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
2018, and it's 100% Riesling at 12% alcohol. $16 suggested retail. And our third white.
It's from Deer Run Winery, which is in New York, in the Finger Lake area. And it's called Kinesis White. Kinesis is one of the lakes, one of the minor Finger Lakes up there that they are on. And they call it Kinesis White. And now this is going to be a unique wine for West Coast palates. It is 70% Diamond and 30% Vidal Blanc. Diamond is a French-American hybrid grape, hybridized by Jacob Moore in the late 1800s. One of the parents was Concord, the red grape. The other parent was Iona, another hybrid grape there. And it got together one night and begat the Diamond. For quite often, it was known as Moore's Diamond, but just recently as Diamond. Diamond, because it's Concord, think almost of a white Concord. We know the grape jelly, etc.
Uh-huh.
So it has the foxiness in there, but that foxiness gives almost a little spiciness.
What do you mean by foxiness?
Foxiness is a term used to refer to a lot of Labrusca grapes, your native grapes, your your Concord, Niagara, etc. Diamond. Basically, it doesn't smell like a wet fox. It doesn't really have anything to do with a fox other than when those
because
grapes...
usually fox is somewhat of a pejorative term in wine, isn't it?
Yeah, but it came from the colonists, the early people finding all these native grapes growing, hanging down because there were no vineyards, no trees, hanging down, and when they're ripe, the fox stood up on the back leg trying to eat the grapes, and all the colonists knew these grapes are ripe, the foxes are after
Well, that's
them.
A much more romantic spin.
I think so. I guess you had to spin that some way.
It's not that wet dog syndrome.
Well,
wet fox.
Well, and remember, we used to describe women that way.
Oh. Very well said.
You know.
It's an attractive quality.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I like it. It, it has a personality.
Right. Yes. There's a little Vidal Blanc in this also.
And what does Vidal Blanc contribute to?
A little bit of the floral, the tropical fruit flavors.
Okay. Okay.
Vidal Blanc is, again, hybrid. A straightforward hybrid, Trebbiano Uni Blanc was the parent, depending whether you're Italy.
And it's a French-American
hybrid, hybridized in France, and the Rayon d'Or. So you get usually tropical fruits from Vidal Blanc. So you get this little spicy foxiness in there from the Diamond, the dominant one, but just a little body of the tropical fruits and the roundness coming from the Vidal Blanc.
It's unlike anything that you'd find in California, don't you think?
I know, and that's the exciting part of it, that you don't taste this in our usual Sauvignon Blanc Chardonnay. Not that those aren't wonderful, but this is exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's from the Finger Lakes.
Yeah.
Finger Lakes region. Kinesis. I want to say consensus.
Exactly.
I thought it was a typo at first. But it is Kinesis White from Deer Run Winery in the Finger Lakes in New York. And it's 11.5% alcohol. Great. And it's a 70% Diamond and 30% Vidal Blanc. Blend.
Diamond is one of those hybrids that you have to get
to
use. Isn't that wild?
So are any of these, have any of those... odd grape variety. I don't mean that in a bad way. Grape varieties that you have they come west at all? Is anybody out here growing?
Not growing them because people don't have a need to.
Yeah.
Because the vinifera does so well.
Uh-huh.
People like those flavors better. But there are some hybrids, and some other native grapes like the Norton is grown. to some extent.
We're going to switch from whites to reds right after this break. It's the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Commission, and we have Dave Barber and Carl Brandhorst leading us through some unique wines that you're just not going to find at your local wine shop, but hopefully someday that will change. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with Steve Garner and Chef John Ash, celebrating 34 years this year.
Bennett Valley, here's KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Got chronic joint pain? Not having success with steroids but trying to avoid surgery? Now there's a better way available in our area from the medical professionals at Marin Regenerative Health. This is Pat Kerrigan talking about new therapies, advanced, all-natural, regenerative cell treatments that not only give you relief but speed up the process of healing and repair. Popular in Europe for years, now they're here. If you've got joint pain, arthritis, knee pain, shoulder pain, a torn meniscus, rotator cuff pain, tennis or golf elbow, you need to learn about these new regenerative solutions. Call now for a free consultation. Marin Regenerative Health, 415-234-4225. These treatments increase mobility, decrease pain, and restore tissue, allowing your body to heal itself. Call now and learn more. Marin Regenerative Health. Don't wait. Marin Regenerative Health, 415-234-4225. 415-234-4225. That's 234-4225.
We all use electricity, so why not feel great about where it comes from?
Sonoma Clean Power CEO Jeff Cyphers.
When you choose Sonoma Clean Power, you're choosing cleaner energy made from renewable sources like wind, solar, and geothermal. You're also helping to build more local renewable energy projects in Sonoma and Mendocino counties, including our newest solar project in Cloverdale, generating nearly 2.5 million kilowatt hours per year. And you're helping to make buildings more efficient, like the rebuilding of over 300 homes through our Advanced Energy Rebuild Program. In 2020, we'll debut our latest innovation, the Advanced Energy Center in downtown Santa Rosa, where customers can test, purchase, and receive discounts on efficient electric appliances and technologies for their homes. Don't miss your chance to take advantage of SCP's groundbreaking customer programs. If you're not an SCP customer, give us another look and learn how publicly owned power is making a difference for Sonoma and Mendocino counties.
Sonoma Clean Power. Innovation grown locally.
It is KSRO. It is the Good Food Hour, and we're tasting red wines grown along the Eastern Seaboard with the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association. Dave, Carl, what's the next? The first
well,
red?
Wait,
first
once,
oh,
once
you had a question.
Yeah, I did. During the break, we were talking about... So, people hopefully are listening to this and being intrigued by these wines. How can they get them?
Well, basically, most of these wineries, in fact, all these wineries are relatively small and don't have major distribution, even in their home state. But many of them can ship to California. It depends upon the receiving state of where a winery can ship. And California is relatively the good reciprocal state and has most people have established that. So basically, it's through the winery itself, contact the winery itself, and see if they do ship to California.
Cab Franc.
Cabernet Franc.
One that does very well along the Eastern Seaboard.
Yes, certainly.
This is the winery from Bull Run. It's in Virginia, and obviously right next to the battlefield of Bull Run. Oh. And it's Cabernet Franc growing there. It ripens very nicely. In this one, you'll get a lot of nice black pepper, black pepper coming through there, smokiness, some cherries, and a little tobacco-like flavors coming through. A little higher alcohol because it's like 13%, 13.5%, but still it's manageable. But you get a lot of fruit coming through there in aged in oak, so you have that spiciness developing too.
It's so meaty. I think about it in terms of barbecue and that kind of stuff. It has that smoky,
almost
kind
a
of
smoky essence.
Yeah, kind of quality to it.
Who grows the most Cab Franc along the Eastern Seaboard?
Oh, I don't know. Being from Virginia, I'm a little biased, and it does very well there, and a lot of people do a Cabernet Franc.
Oh, you get it up in Pennsylvania and also down North Carolina and over in New Jersey.
It is grown all around.
So where are the vineyards in New Jersey? It's just hard to even
We have two or three now AVAs in Virginia. The oldest one is Outer Coastal Plain, which is basically all along the coast in 20 miles or so. And that's the Outer Coastal Plain, and most of them are in there. But Cape May is another AVA that's just developed way down south, where there's a couple wineries there that do some nice Italian-style wines.
In the southern part of New Jersey, the Italian grew very
well. No, but not Bayonne or...
No, I'm teasing. They stay in the garden part of the Garden State.
Is there much Syrah being grown?
Not too much. No. A little bit we tried. It doesn't really do well. Mm-hmm. But there is some Syrah that we have occasionally. Maryland does some that are nice. Spotty here and there, you'll have a winery that's successful.
Syrah. So I think I've asked you this question in past years. I wanted to see if you've changed your
changed your answer.
So what do you think are the defining white and red grape varietals for that part of the world? If you said, if you're just going to try one white and one red, it would be?
Well, for the red, I'd go with Cabernet Franc. That's fairly successful up and down the coast. The white, Viognier is doing very well, but then it's taking over. There's a new one we didn't quite talk about earlier, but Petit Mansang, which is a good, it's a French grape. It's growing well on the east and hasn't made it to California, although people, some people are intrigued by it and wanted to grow. That gives you a little more pineapple-y flavor. Mm. Not quite unlike a Viognier, but sort of that style texture. Not as perfumey, but you have the pineapple essence.
And you can do it either sweet or dry.
Well, I think Virginia has an affinity for Cabernet Franc. This is really good. It's peppery. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that vegetal character that sometimes Cabernet Sauvignon.
No.
To me, it seems like the vinifera of choice for a red wine variety along the Eastern Seaboard. I may be speaking out of my one part of my anatomy, but it seems like it's more forgiving than Cabernet Sauvignon and could be grown in more varied climates.
Well, you were saying off air, which I think is also what makes this so appealing, is that as we get older, maybe not for everybody, but you're not looking for those big, you know, destroy your taste buds kinds of highly extracted red wines, and this one's not. It's so drinkable.
I agree with you that Cabernet Franc was a terrific wine, and that was a lovely one from the winery at Bull Run. So there's some historical lineage to that, and that's in Virginia, 2018. 13.5% alcohol, 100% Cab Franc. And the next one, and this is exciting, the Tannat. Mm-hmm. And this is a great wood from southwest France or somewhere in that area.
Mm-hmm. East of Bordeaux, but it's been growing successfully in the east.
And I'll tell you an interesting story. I had dinner with some very good friends that live in Uruguay.
And it's the national grape of Uruguay.
Well, I was going to say, we had dinner last week, and they brought a bottle of Tannat. Mm-hmm. And they're big fans of Tannat. Yes. And I had limited experience. I said, I know I've maybe know about this, but I loved it. It was a beautiful bottle of wine.
In its home in France, Tannat was the wine they used to sneak into Bordeaux to darken up their Bordeaux blends before they got caught. And, you know, it's not an authorized grape, but it wasn't that far away from Bordeaux. In the middle of the night, a couple of truckloads used to go in and bring it.
Oh, those French. They're just so wrapped up in
they make the rules, and they can't even follow them themselves.
Yeah. So describe, who's the producer for this?
This is Artera Winery, which is in Virginia. It's a relatively small winery, and it's grown here. And this Tannat is all natural, if you will. In the vineyard, they do as minimal as possible work in there, but it's natural yeast, natural handling, free flow. It's not filtered or fined, and it just comes through the handling of the grape, and I think it shows well.
Boy, the color is like... It's black. Gorgeous.
That's why the Bordelais liked it for darkening up their wine.
It's really the color of King Henry VIII's robe. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. And does this spend time in oak?
Yes. I don't offhand remember how much time, but I'd say at least a year or so.
And what does a wine like this cost?
This Tannat is a little more expensive. Yeah. It's a little more alcohol in there, but it goes for $49. Mm-hmm. As I say, it's a smaller winery, and they do a lot of nice structure.
I'm surprised. I thought I wouldn't like it. Me too. I saw that you had it, I thought, I don't know. It stains your teeth.
Exactly.
Burns your throat. You know.
That's especially with Petit Verdot and Tannat, you can't do them as varietals. They're not good grapes for varietals. And we said, try ours.
Yeah.
And now they're doing some that way, too.
Interesting.
Are other states growing this, too? Is it mainly Virginia?
A little bit. But it's a growing area grape. People aren't sure what's going on. We're still trying to learn what grows best.
So when we were, just before we came on the air, I was asking you about Tannat, because it's a grape that can survive growing temperatures that are higher.
Yes.
And there's been some discussion I can't quote who it was, mm-hmm. but that this, that as the Napa Valley gets hotter, mm-hmm. which it's doing,
yes.
that Cabernet, decades from now, a few decades mm-hmm. from now, might not be able to grow there, and this might be
a replacement
mm-hmm. for it. Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to go where no man has gone before. And we're going to try, I believe, a cider. Is this correct?
Well, we have one other one first.
Oh, we have another one first. Well, then we'll take a break, and mm-hmm. we'll come back with more great wines, unique wines, mm-hmm. from the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Commission. It's all happening live this morning in the KSRO kitchen.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week, year-round.
Saturday mornings, 8:30 to 1, continue the tradition at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market at the Veterans Building across from the fairgrounds. New for 2020, the Wednesday market is moving to Farmers Lane Plaza in Santa Rosa, starting January 8th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Chicken, lamb, beef, and fresh fish all available, including Bud's Meats, Green Star Farms, Silver Sky Ranch, Bethes Springs, and Santa Rosa Seafood. Seasonal produce like pomegranates, persimmons, Santa Maria's strawberries, winter squash, greens, eggs, cheese, and green beans. Get baked goods from Revolution Bread, Redbird Bakery, Nikki's Flower Creations, Relax and Eat Bread, and Bake Shift. Fresh coffee from Bella Rosa Coffee Roasters. Grab breakfast, lunch, or dinner from the restaurant quality food vendors like Nelly's Oysters, What a Chicken, and Van Doe Waffles.
For more info on your local farmers markets, look them up on Facebook.
You know, there's no denying it's unhealthy. It makes you cough and hurt your lungs. Burning wood in your fireplace pollutes the air outside and inside your home. Safeguard your family's health this winter. If your home is smoking, it's time to quit. It's your air. Protect it. To learn more, visit sparetheair.org.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Well, every year, John and I, after the show's over, say, you know, this year was the best year mm-hmm. that we've ever had tasting the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association wines. But this really ranks mm-hmm. very high up. Mm-hmm. You've put together an outstanding assortment of wines. What's the next Thanks. One, Dave
well,
and Carl?
Next one we go into, we're retrograding back to Thanksgiving. This is Brandon Hill Vineyards from North Carolina, and it is called Cranberry Delight. It is 100% Traminette. We've had a Traminette before, but it's 100% Traminette with cranberries. So you have the sweetness in there, 4% sweetness, but the cranberries being so sour or unsweet, it balances out nicely. So you have that sweet tart feeling on your palate.
It's delicious. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had anything quite, and it's so forward cranberry.
Exactly.
And you're right, not the cranberry, not the ocean spray in the can,
right.
but the
real cranberries.
This is like nothing I've ever put in my mouth. So would this be, John, as an aperitif, or would this be difficult to pair with an hors d'oeuvre?
You know, when you think about the acidity of this, it's not dissimilar to sparkling wine. Mm-hmm. You know, so things, certainly at the beginning of the meal, maybe a little rich, things with smoked salmon or something like that, this would be fantastic.
This would help cut the acidity of something rich?
Not cut the acidity, cut the fat, you know.
Cut the fat.
Yes.
A lighter tureen, a turkey tureen, something like
that. Yeah, wouldn't that be fantastic?
And this
smoke
again on the lower alcohol side.
It's only 12.5% alcohol and $17.
It's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I'll buy a case right now.
So where is the Yadkin Valley?
Yadkin Valley was the first AVA in North Carolina. It's a western part, west of Winston-Salem. Not quite. It's where you Piedmont sort of coming up into the mountains, the Appalachians down there. So you have higher elevation, so you can get more vinifera, more structure, a little bit of everything over there.
Now, they're not growing cranberries there.
No. The cranberries, I'm not sure where they're sourcing their cranberries.
Maybe Michigan, Wisconsin up in
there. One of the
area.
Larger producers, yes.
So they ferment, they crush the cranberries. Do you think they're getting concentrate, or are they actually doing
I'm not sure how they're doing this, but I think it's more of a fresh cranberry they may use. Mm-hmm. And again, within Massachusetts or Wisconsin, they do a lot of cranberries. And so I'm sure they're getting.
Oh, they do, yeah.
So what's the blend again?
100% Traminette, with cranberries. And I'm not sure exactly how many they do, but that trauma.
But the cranberry comes
it's
through.
It's a dominant. Yeah. It's not a wimpy cranberry.
No, no.
So could we serve this on our Thanksgiving table?
It would be perfect. It would be perfect. So that's what I'm getting a case for, and I'll invite you over for
it's
next
wild.
Thanksgiving.
I mean, yeah. And let's look at it. No one in California is doing this.
No.
Style of wine. And this is very exciting and pushing the envelope.
You know what's interesting, and I'll ask you, are there other fruit wines being made in your part of the world?
Yes, more so in the north, Maine, New Hampshire, New York, because the fruit is growing there and the grapes aren't as dominant. So you learn to make wine with what you have. Mm-hmm. There's blueberry, cherry, peach, you know, all kinds of things. Georgia, you have the peach and everything else you have. What you can grow, you make wine from.
I have to say that over the years, there are a couple of fruit wines that I just love. And there's a raspberry
yes.
wine from
yes.
the Midwest that mm-hmm. is just a killer. And what I don't tell people what it'd be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Serve this to people. Don't tell them what it is.
So they'll figure it out. So
delicious.
That's the Cranberry Delight from Brandon Hill Winery or Brandon Hill Vineyards in North Carolina.
And it is a delight, I have to say.
Okay. And we're closing where no man has gone before. And this is the Urban Tree Cidery. You've never poured a cider.
I don't think we started opening up our competition to ciders and meads also to expanding because that's what the palate is going for. And cider's a lost cause. Not a lost cause, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. It's a lost and it's an orphan. No one knows where to put cider. Is it a wine or is it a beer? So we said we'll accept it as a wine.
This past week was CiderCon in
yes.
Oakland, California,
yes,
which brought together some of the greatest cider makers in America to talk about just what you have talked about. Where do you position cider
exactly.
in the American palate?
Yeah, well, Urban Tree Winery is in Georgia. They're in downtown Atlanta. Obviously, they don't grow their apples there. They do own orchards on the suburbs a little further out. And this particular one
wow.
is their classic cider. It is 40% Stamen wine sap apple, 30% Red Delicious, and 30% Golden Delicious.
Hmm. This tastes like no cider that I've ever tasted grown along the West Coast.
Yeah.
We tasted a lot of cider on the show over the last 24 years. It's very unique.
It has all the fresh apple flavors coming in, that little spiciness from the apple.
I've never heard of a Stamen wine sample apple, but
yeah.
okay, and Golden Delicious and Red Delicious, and it only clocks in at 6.5% alcohol.
Yeah, ciders are much more user-friendly at the alcohol level.
Do you know what else is nice about it? It's not sometimes, because a lot of ciders are made from these ugly apples,
exactly.
you know, that you'd never eat,
right.
you know, not eating apples. And they get sometimes kind of funky and bittery and all of that. This isn't that at all.
Here you can almost pull out that Golden Delicious apple.
Yes.
So it's nice. They do a good job. Urban Tree Cidery is very, they do a whole slew of different kinds of ciders and even some flavored ciders and from the different grape See my wine.
Yeah.
Different apple blends and structures. But this was their classic, which one was a gold medal.
Are you a cider fan, Carl?
Not really. A cider fan. I'm more a Tannat guy.
I'm more Tannat guy. Well, that's the challenge of cider makers is to find that. I mean,
that
sweet spot.
Yes,
because it's either too sweet or it's too dry, and that's why I think they're having a tough road.
So, what was it? How many? But Sonoma County, here we are. How many cider makers?
At least 15 now.
And 5 years ago, there was
a few,
two or something. Yeah.
So they're all trying to find a niche market within this, and they're trying to find what consumers are looking for stylistically. And a lot of them are really almost on the zero residual sugar level. And when that's a little bit too severe for me, I think having some of that natural fruit and sugar is an attractive quality in cider.
You know, but when you travel in Normandy and Brittany and all of that stuff where cider is famous, they're bone dry, but they have all that perfume of the apples and stuff. They're
to me, just a little bit of sweetness just brings out the flavor and enhances the fruit.
So here we are, a Georgia cider.
That's right.
Urban Tree Cider, and it's classic cider, 2019, $17, and it's 40% Stamen wine sap, 30% Red Delicious, and 30% Golden Delicious. Thank you for closing up shop.
Yeah.
You're quite welcome.
This is just delicious.
This is a great thing to have at the end of the evening, the end of the radio show. Not too alcoholic. We can drive now and
have another glass and enjoy. And
so why don't we
apples.
Get you on the calendar for 2021?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. You got us.
And hopefully you'll visit us again in late January, early February.
We'll
and have another sensational tasting of grapes and wines that are grown along the Atlantic Seaboard Wine Association members, 17 states strong.
Yes.
And you've been around since 1973.
Right.
At one of the earliest viticultural Appalachian societies in America.
That's right. Correct.
Yep.
That's quite remarkable. Carl, Dave, thanks so much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for having
John
us.
Will pay a visit to the Fancy Food Show next Saturday.
I can't wait. You actually went there. I can't believe you did.
And I will bring in some of the fanciest foods you've ever tasted. 25 years we've been doing this show, the San Francisco Fancy Food Show, and we'll taste some of the exotic foods that I tasted at the show several weeks ago. Stick around at the table with Clark Wolf, follows the news. Steve Garner, Chef John Ash, thanks for listening. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.